Welcome to Whatever Is Lovely, True, and Awesome. I'm your host, Samantha Grace. This is the podcast where I share uplifting stories from the news, profile migraine sufferers in the public eye, and share inspiring song lyrics. This podcast is for those of us who deal with chronic pain or anyone who wants to hear positive stories presented in a soothing voice. So thank you so much for listening. Today, I have a great story for you, positive story. So Representative Tim Burchett, a Republican from Tennessee, posted a surprising video on Twitter this last week. In the video, he shared his personal cell phone number and encouraged people to contact him if they need help. He says, "I know everybody is under a lot of pressure right now with what's going on with the coronavirus. If you're feeling all that pressure, it's getting to you. You know, in the last little bit here, we've had 9 people in our community who've taken their lives, and that's a horrible, horrible thing, somebody taking their own life. If you feel like you're going to hurt yourself or maybe hurt somebody around you, why don't you all just call me and let's talk?" That just blows my mind that he would say that. I think that is so powerful. For somebody to reach a hand out like that. And a few days after his posting, his office shared he had received over 1,000 phone calls and 2,000 text messages. Many calls came from other states, but most came from the people in the 7 counties in his district. And he also goes on to say, "If they have a friend who is suicidal and they can't reach them all over the country, I'll figure out through the computer here and we find where they are. My staff does a great job. They care for these people. They hurt for these people. And they know that I hurt for them. So that makes them work that much harder. We're just trying to get to everybody." So I really like this article because he's putting himself out there personally. This is not just some, you know, thoughts and prayers going out to the community like politicians often say. This is a person making himself available for his community and putting the effort and the time in to help them. So that's amazing. For my migraine profile, I'm going to be talking about Virginia Woolf. So while researching famous migraine sufferers, I came upon a 1930 essay on being ill, written by Virginia Woolf, and there's just so much good stuff in that essay. It's like I basically want to read the whole thing, but I'm only going to pull some quotes from it. But according to Wikipedia, Woolf was an English writer and considered one of the most important modernist 20th century authors. She was also a pioneer in the use of stream of consciousness as a narrative device. And Woolf became one of the central subjects of the 1970s movement of feminist criticism, and her works have since garnered much attention and widespread commentary for inspiring feminism. So if you ever saw that movie, The Hours, Nicole Kidman plays Virginia Woolf. Remember, she had that prosthetic nose and everybody kept on talking about it. So if you saw that movie, you remember that Virginia Woolf does end up committing suicide. So yes, that's depressing, but she had such a brilliant and creative mind that she needs to be remembered. And she not only dealt with migraines, she also had depression and mental illness in the form of bipolar disorder. So she had a lot going on. So in her essay on being ill, she has some beautiful insights about illness not being portrayed in writing or performance pieces. "Considering how common illness is, how tremendous the spiritual change that it brings, how astonishing when the lights of health go down, the undiscovered countries that are then disclosed, what wastes and deserts of the soul a slight attack of influenza brings to light, what precipices and lawns sprinkled with bright flowers a little rise of temperature reveals, what ancient and obdurate oaks are uprooted in us in the act of sickness, how we go down into the pit of death and feel the waters of annihilation close above our heads and wake, thinking to find ourselves in the presence of the angels and the harpers when we have a tooth out and come to the surface in the dentist's armchair and confuse his rinse the mouth, with the greeting of the deity stooping from the floor of heaven to welcome us. When we think of this, and infinitely more, as we are so frequently forced to think of it, it becomes strange indeed that illness has not taken its place with love, battle, and jealousy among the prime themes of literature. So I think it's kind of funny how she says that, you know, it's like kind of comical. She says, rinse the mouth, confusing the dentist with like a god. So she also points out how difficult it is to describe pain. And definitely as a migraine sufferer, we understand that because when you're trying to talk to a person who's never had a migraine, you can't properly describe what it feels like. So I loved this next quote that she says. Finally, to hinder the description of illness in literature, there is the poverty of the language. English, which can express the thoughts of Hamlet and the tragedy of Lear, has no words for the shiver and the headache. It has all gone one way. The merest schoolgirl, when she falls in love, has Shakespeare or Keats to speak her mind for her. But let a sufferer try to describe a pain in his head to a doctor, and language at once runs dry. There is nothing ready-made for him. He is forced to coin words himself. And, taking his pain in one hand, and a lump of pure sound in the other, as perhaps the people of Babel did in the beginning, so to crush them together that a brand new word, in the end, drops out. Probably it will be something laughable. I love that. I mean, what kind of word would you make up to describe your pain? I think it'd be an interesting experiment to like make a list when you don't have a migraine about what kind of words you would use to describe the pain. And then when you do have one, what the words would be. So this next quote really speaks to me in the time period we're dealing with right now. Illness is a part of every human being's experience. It enhances our perceptions and reduces self-consciousness. It is the great confessional. Things are said, truths are blurted out, which health conceals. Definitely, right? It's like the great equalizer, our physical condition. The fear that we live in as migraine sufferers, the fear of the next attack, the fear of the next missed social outing, the fear of not knowing when the pain will end, that uncertainty about our physical state and, you know, therefore our emotional well-being is what a lot of people are experiencing for the first time right now during this global pandemic. There are so many healthy people out there who've never had a migraine, who've never dealt with any kind of chronic condition, and now this thing swoops in and they don't know who's going to get it next and how it's going to affect them and if it's going to take them down. And, you know, we can take that fear and that knowledge that they're, that we can relate to them, and we can turn that on its head. And as migraine sufferers, we are really good at picking ourselves up and dusting ourselves off. And we can offer that strength to other people who are scared right now. Because when you've dealt with chronic pain, you can look back and marvel at how you're able to pick yourself up and get back into the fray, get back into life. So let's choose right now to draw strength from our understanding of pain and suffering, and we can reach out a hand to the people who need it right now, and we can offer them solace, and we can wish them continued good health. Because I know sometimes I'm just amazed that there are people who have never been very sick in their life. You know, they've never had any kind of health condition, and I would not wish coronavirus on anybody, of course, and I wouldn't wish chronic migraines. I wouldn't wish any kind of ill health on anybody. But it does give you a shifted mental capability when you when, you know, the rug is ripped out from under you and you can't control your own body. So I thought that, you know, Virginia Woolf just has had some amazing observations. I was a little hesitant, you know, that's why I took a while posting this episode, because I honestly didn't want to talk about her, but the more I read her quotes, the more it was, you know, she really, like me hosting this podcast, when you've gone through a certain experience, you can empathize, you can talk to people, you can relate to them better, and she truly understands. So I'm really glad that I did her this week. For our song today, we have one of my daughter's favorite songs, This Girl Is On Fire by Alicia Keys. She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. She got both feet on the ground and she's burning it down. She got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. She's walking on fire. This girl is on fire. Looks like a girl, but she's a flame. So bright she can burn your eyes. Better look the other way. You can try, but you'll never forget her name. She's on top of the world. Hottest of the hottest girls. We got our feet on the ground, and we're burning it down. Got our head in the clouds, and we're not coming down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. She's walking on fire. This girl is on fire. Everybody stares as she goes by because they can see the flame that's in her eyes. Watch her as she's lighting up the night. Nobody knows that she's a lonely girl and it's a lonely world, but she's gonna let it burn, baby, burn, baby. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. She's walking on fire. This girl is on fire. She's just a girl, and she's on fire. So that was This Girl Is On Fire by Alicia Keys, and it's a little bit more opaque or oblique than the songs that I normally read as far as how to interpret positive message out of it. Really, when you're listening to it, you can hear it's kind of more like a power anthem for feminism. But something that I think about when I just read it like that is that we can be part of the flames. You know, there can be a fire, but we can choose to match that intensity and maybe not be afraid of this tidal wave engulfing us, but be strong and become part of the tidal wave. That's just a little bit of what I'm thinking about. So let's close out the episode with a quote from the Tennessee politician that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. He says, "Together we're going to get through this, folks. Just hang in there." So thank you so much for listening. Let's remember that. Let's just hang in there. And as always, take care of yourself.